This is the SML Podcast.
So how much time do you have, Kunal, anyway?
Not much. I can probably do like 5 or 10, but I'm literally just coming back from lunch. And
he's going to be—it's going to be a crunch cast on the road.
Well, on that note,
in Majmudaria.
Majmudaria. Well, since we only have a few minutes, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris,
and this is the SML podcast. I'm not even going to say the number because we have guests. We have Len and Kunal from Sword Tech. Just introduce yourselves and start talking, since Kunal only has like 5 minutes. Go. Go!
Okay, I'll go first.
Hi, what are you waiting for?
Kunal, I am the business and audio lead for Sword Tech and on Pixel Noir.
And I am Len Stewart. I am the creative director on Pixel Noir, and I co-own Sword Tech Games with Kunal.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, that was simple enough, right?
So, you guys just launched a Kickstarter last week. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, Len, do you want to do it?
Sounds like a heart beating.
Yeah. Okay. Considering I made PAX East like my full time job when I was there, and just working at that booth and trying to talk to people. We actually launched the Kickstarter on Friday, right? Friday. Was it Friday?
Yep.
Or Thursday? Okay,
yep.
Friday.
Nope.
So we just launched it on Friday. And basically, we were just kind of talking to people who came up to our booth about the game. We allowed people to play the pre-alpha. And we got a really good response. Actually, I was really surprised about the where we were. It really attracted a lot of people. We were kind of like on a corner. And a lot of people just kind of came up to our booth and was just checking us out, and they would sign up. They would sign into the Kickstarter right there and pledge right there with us. It was really cool. We just hope that we can kind of hold the momentum. We are on day 6 now, so.
What's the status so far? How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty decent, actually. We're at a little over 12,000.
Nice.
14. Nice.
Yeah.
14? Well, yeah. Damn.
We're over 14,000? Wow. Okay.
Over 9,000!
I've been actually out all morning, so I haven't really checked it out recently. So
he's slacking.
Yeah, I'm slacking. That's awesome. So the Pixel Noir booth, that was like really awesome at PAX. We were visited by Dale North. He had some dinner lunches with
who's
Kunal.
That?
That Dale he's, North character. He's so elusive.
Who's that? Never heard of him.
He's the corgi loving guy from Destructoid.
Oh, his Twitter account is at Dale North, and everyone's supposed to follow him
for entertaining business.
Remember that half hour we spent with him?
No, yeah, that's right.
He's a cool character.
He talked about corgis literally the entire time. I don't think I got a word in edgewise.
I'm not surprised by that.
Nope, me either. It's just his thing.
It was corgis and like Christmas morning is what he talked about. And then we sang Disney songs at the end together. We did duets.
What song?
A Whole New World.
I can show you the world.
Karaoke cast.
Shining, shimmering, splendid.
Splendid.
That's so late.
So, Kunal, what would you like to talk about, since you are only around for a few minutes? What would you like to tell us about Pixel Noir or the Kickstarter or whatever else? Because I guess we have Len the rest of the episode, but you're just kind of being a dork.
Yeah, yeah. Len for great justice. It'll happen. Well, really, we just launched, like Len said, on Friday, and we are seeing some pretty awesome reaction from the community. If you guys haven't checked it out, whoever's listening, hop on a Kickstarter and search for Pixel Noir. And you can kind of see the video we put together and all the details. It's super cool. It's something that I really haven't seen much of before. Like, I think we keep running into people saying it kind of looks like Shadowrun, but it actually kind of also feels like Super Mario RPG and Final Fantasy and Earthbound. And they keep pulling out different games when they point to different parts of it.
Nice.
But it's an RPG that was built from the ground up to be like, to pull from our favorite games and to also like elevate the design so that it actually matches today's platforms. Because when Square Enix put out that Chrono Trigger port for iOS, it made my soul die a little bit. So we don't want to do that. We want to build it up for every single platform that we put it out on. It's going to be out on iOS, Android, PC, OS X, and then we have stretch goals in place for PS4 and Vita. And actually, some secret news I can tell you is that it's looking pretty hopeful that those may turn into not stretch goals pretty soon. We're talking with Sony right now.
So. Nice.
Hooray!
We're also between the devices that Kunal was talking about, we're looking to actually implement a cross-save functionality. So you're going to be able to like play it on your PC and save it. And then if you got to like hop on a train, you can play it on your Vita or iPad or something.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
We're
really going to try to fit to make that work.
Yeah, when I heard you guys talking about cross-save, I kind of figured it was just PS4 and Vita. I didn't expect that it would be like PC to Vita and stuff like that. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, well, I think we'll be able to do that with the cloud technology, actually. But yeah, go ahead, Kunal.
Yeah. And actually, we do have a work cut out for us. Like, so we know we can do PC, OS X, iOS, and Android fairly easily. And we know we could do PS4 to Vita pretty easily. We're just beginning discussions with Sony about the potential of them possibility of them allowing us to do cross port to other platforms. So like that hasn't been, you know, that egg hasn't been, or whatever you call it, that nut hasn't been cracked yet, but we're working on it. And we hope to have some good news soon. We hope Sony will kind of let us do that, but we'll have to see.
Nice.
So what is it that you've been explaining to some of the people that can potentially, fund this?
What's your pitch?
Yeah, like what's your pitch? What's your main end game for, you know?
Sell me on it, Kunal. Yeah. Sell me.
Well, the game revolves around, first of all, the game is, it's got so many cool features, aside from the story, which I'm going to go into in a second.
Sounds dumb.
Yeah, the story is kind of dumb. But, no, you've got your, so like Len was saying, you have your cross-save functionality, which is something like, why can't you just pick up a game on your PC, save it, and then hop onto a bus or a train, wherever you got to go, pull out your iPhone or Android, and continue playing the game? Like, these are long-form RPGs. This is a 10-hour game. They're supposed to, 10 to 15, actually, and they're supposed to be played over long periods of time. So we want to make sure that the cross-save functionality allows you to do that. It all just reinforces, like, how an RPG gamer lifestyle would be. We've also got some pretty awesome, if you hop onto the Kickstarter page, you'll kind of see our concept designs for how everything is laid out. Like I said before, we're taking the design and all of the kind of user interfaces, the graphical interfaces, and we're bringing them up a level. So if you take a look at the site, you'll see all sorts of cool things. So like one of my favorite things we've implemented is when you're in a battle or any battle, everything is like timed hits or timed blocks, sort of reminiscent of Super Mario RPG. But again, taken to the next level, like use gestures when you're in iOS or Android, use button combinations when you're on a platform device or PC. We've also got some really cool, like, comic book-style motion comic cutscenes, which is something that we really haven't seen a lot. And the whole, like, visual, like, Len can talk about this a little bit after I hop off, but the whole visual flair and style of the game, it just oozes noir, and it's extremely stylized. So I urge everybody to actually go look at the Kickstarter and actually take a look at the screenshots, because I guarantee you, you haven't really seen many games that look and feel like this before. Beyond all that, we've got this killer story. It starts out with a detective. Very beginning of the game, he's a rookie on the force, and he ends up blowing up a hospital. It kills hundreds of lives, even your partner's life. And then he wakes up in a hospital, goes to prison. When you wake up, that's the beginning of the game. And so the game takes place after this incident, and there's a deeper story about what happened that led up to that incident and why the detective starts hallucinating and seeing monsters after he leaves the hospital and leaves prison. And so it's a much more mature, focused, and geared game or RPG than we've seen in the JRP genre for quite some time. So I think, like, you pull all this together, you've got a killer package. I really have gotten a lot of positive feedback, so we're really psyched about it.
So nice. tell me about some of the stuff I remember seeing that you're doing, like an in-game, like side game, like card thing. Explain the card thing.
The card thing. Well, the card thing is we really love, like, you know, like I said, we're pulling from all of our favorite games that we played: Earthbound, Chrono Trigger, Final Fantasy. You know, all these different types of games.
And never heard of them.
One of the they're kind of rare. They're kind of rare. Not many people have heard of them. They got to be kind of hardcore. But one of our favorites is like the card games that they used to have in the Final Fantasy games. I know that they've been replaced with different types of games in the newer ones. But you go look back at Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX, and they had some awesome, like, Tetra Master style games.
Man, fuck Tetra Master. It's all about Triple Triad.
Triple Triad, yeah, there you go.
Triple Triad is the shit.
Yeah, it was awesome. And so we're basically taking the mechanics of that game and we're kind of redesigning it to, again, be cooler, better, more interactive, more digital for today's platforms. But and we're sort of powering them up. We're, like, leveling them up. So if you look on the Kickstarter, there's an example of one of those cards, and every card will have, like, a superpower. And so it's just a super fun game. I'm sure we'll have a Kickstarter update on it soon, because when Len, Tim, and I were prototyping it, we had a ton of fun just play testing it and trying different combinations and. I think people will really love it.
Who is this Tim person that you mentioned?
I believe he's small or extra small. I don't know what you call him.
Yeah, we haven't.
Was that one guy who used to do the show with us? way back in the day. You know, that guy who, like, lives in town but hasn't shown up for weeks on end.
He's a busy guy.
That guy who should totally be on your podcast next week.
So instead of him talking about this Kickstarter, we have Kunal and Len calling in to talk about the Kickstarter.
To be fair,
this is their project.
Like, they're the owners of Sword Tech, so.
That is true.
And they're cute.
And I like Kunal.
Well,
Kunal.
Gosh,
shucks, guys. Kunal's dreamy.
Funeral.
Imaj Mudaria.
Dude, that ass, I'm telling you.
I have to hop off in a sec, but I'd love to keep talking about how dreamy I am.
You should come visit sometime, Kunal. We miss you.
I know. I got to come out your way.
You know, Kunal, we've been up there twice in the last month. We should have went up there, but yes, we didn't have that much time.
Wait, you were up in Wilkes-Barre? Like,
well, no, they went up this way for PAX. They have to pass through.
No, I think he's talking about the fact that they were in Wilkes-Barre.
It wasn't even for PAX.
Oh. Yeah,
you son of a bitch.
We went up there to film, but we literally we spent all day filming.
We were filming in a coffee shop for the.
I know where it was.
You son of a bitch.
That was Fog and Flame, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That's what I thought it was. I'm looking at the video. I'm like, I know this place.
Hey, Joe, I'm going to be in Wilkes-Barre filming some stuff for the Kickstarter.
That was Bloomsburg.
It was in Bloom?
It was even closer to you.
You motherfucker! I could have fucking walked to Bloom to see you. Jesus.
You know what was funny, too, is that while we were walking, I said something like, maybe we should visit Joe, because if he gets word of this, he's going to get a little pissed that we didn't see him. You know,
he's going to get way pissed.
You motherfucker. The fact that it wasn't just Wilkes-Barre, it was fucking Bloomsburg. You could have spit and hit Danville from Bloomsburg.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, you're a dickhead, we'll Kunal.
We'll come out when there's not like a ridiculous deadline that we had to make.
Normally,
so never.
Normally, with Kunal leaving, I would ask him for some final words, but I don't know. I think you can go fuck yourself, Kunal.
All right. Well,
so Kunal, do you have any final words for the people listening?
Wait.
Go fuck yourself. No, I'm somewhere. Serious. Go ahead. Do I have any final words for our listeners, Kunal?
No.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh my god. So much hate.
Just go check out the Kickstarter and don't hate me after this, please.
You son of
that
a bitch.
That goes to you, Joe.
You son of a bitch, Kunal. And to think, I donated an ass load of money to your Kickstarter. Can't
I know.
Fucking visit me.
No, we'll come when it's like, we'll hang out. Like,
it's not like I haven't known you for like a decade or something.
Oh.
You son of a bitch.
So much hate. You're carrying way too much hate weight.
You son of a bitch.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
Fed up with this world.
Oh, hi, doggy.
Hi, Mark.
All right, guys. I gotta hop off, but I'll catch you all later.
All right. Hey, Kunal. Kunal.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Bye, Kunal.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, too.
Bye.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah. Whoops. Oh, that's weird.
Why did
I don't know
it
why
lose
that,
Len?
I have no idea. Do we have you now?
Yes.
Do we have you again, Len?
I hear him.
Yeah, hello.
Yay, he's there.
All right.
Hooray.
So now that son of a bitch is gone.
Oh, so much hate. Why is so much hate?
We're in fucking Bloomsburg.
Yeah, dude. As soon as I...
Right?
Oh, god damn it.
I'm watching the Kickstarter video and I'm like, that's Fog and Flame. I'm like, they definitely recorded that in Fog and Flame.
Yeah, we did.
You sons of bitches. Len, I don't think you have any idea how close Bloomsburg is to Danville.
Well, you know what? Because I knew you guys lived in that area because Tim was like kind of talking about it. And I was like, hey, man, you know, like since we're kind of going to be done shooting, like why don't we go and visit Joe and like have dinner or something, you know, and just chill.
Yeah,
and,
I actually...
Kunal was like, oh, I got to get home because it was Sunday or something. And it was like... He had work the next day, and he had stuff to do with our project at home. So it was like, it was a push, you know? So.
Well, at least, Len, you care.
Hey, you know?
It's true.
I was like, hey, there's friendly people in the area. Shouldn't we go visit them? Like, that's my first reaction, you know?
Yeah.
That's all.
It's like saying in the area isn't even an understatement. It is literally a five-minute drive to my house from where you were.
Yep. It really is.
That's no exaggeration.
And you only have to turn twice.
Three times.
Three times.
Yeah. Once it
sheets. You make a giant U.
Kind of.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of.
Oh, my God. I'm stabbing Kunal next time I see him.
Stabbing him right in the throat.
Yeah. And then the eye. Throat and then the eye.
Oh, man. All right. So, more about Pixel Noir. Let's get off the hate weight talk.
No, this is officially the fuck Kunal cast.
Yeah, but Kunal's been on the podcast how many times now?
I don't give up.
It's been a while. Fuck. It's been a couple times. It's been a few times.
Okay, we'll focus on Len then, because Len cared enough to want to see me.
See?
And this is my first time on the podcast, by the way.
Very true. That I do know.
And your audio quality is a hell of a lot better than Kunal, who was like, calling from Bulgaria or
something. No, he was driving through Majmudaria.
You know what's really funny is that I have an older iPhone than he does, and his quality sucks. That's kind of weird.
It's very strange.
Kunal was going off like 2G speeds.
A G. Nothing but a G thing, baby. Something like that.
So what would you like to ask me about Pixel Noir?
What is your... So you said your specific role is essentially... What was your title? I forget your title now.
Creative director.
Creative director. So essentially, like, you're pretty much the one that's, like, coming up with the ideas for a lot of the stuff. Is that correct?
I came up with the original concept, but basically everybody else kind of, you know, formed the idea. You know what I mean? Like, I basically kind of came up with the idea of combining like a Sin City game, Sin City and Final Fantasy VII, you know, and we were like, wow, you know, well, what could you really kind of combine that into? Well, a detective story, you know, and we also kind of felt that in making this game, we were also like,
we were also driving cars.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing today. I'm kind of driving as I talk to you. anyway,
for any police officers listening to the podcast, that is incorrect.
Yeah, he is at home right now on the couch.
Yes. That is actually just he has his stereo up really loud on Grand Theft Auto.
He has a car sound effects CD playing
in the background.
Yes.
I'm living in my car and I'm just turning it on for heat.
Yeah. Or that.
Yeah, it is kind of chilly today.
It is very cold today. Fuck you, Mother Nature. God damn it. Can I be creative director for the next Sword Tech game and it could be called like Kick Mother Nature in the Cunt? I hate this weather. But yeah,
dude,
so,
we might actually take that blade mode idea and make that an actual skill for a guy.
Oh god.
Oh god, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
No.
Because there's this dude in and he's called Wolf, and he's like this tough guy, and he's like he always like uses his fist or like, you know, knives. He's basically like a gang member, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like thinking, wow, blade mode would be like a perfect name for one of his skills.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh dear.
So, and, the sausage vendor.
The sausage guy.
Yeah, the sausage vendor.
Or Stretch. You know, you could probably be either one. Do kind of use the same sprite.
Are you actually, like, is Joe the sausage vendor? I don't remember. Is that a...
It's been joked about. I don't know if they're actually doing it or not.
No, I don't think, like, anybody really talked about doing it. However, like, the sprite would be easy enough to edit to make it look like Joe.
There you go.
So I'm like, so I'm thinking, yeah, you know, like, let's just make it look like Joe. Yeah.
Joe Cam, the sausage vendor. Because everyone loves my meat.
So anyway, like, more things about, like, the game that you guys probably don't know, too, is that when we were going to make this game, we really kind of went for the more mature vibe. Because, like, everywhere we go and thing that we see from the RPG market kind of seems to like be tailored toward kids, you know, kids that are 21 and under. So why not make an RPG that's for 25 to 40, you know? And that's really kind of where things are kind of going as far as the RPG market that I see, just because RPGs are made for more of a mature person, I feel, you know?
It's definitely more of like a labor of love as far as like the gameplay. Like you have to really like put a lot of time into these games, and a lot of like of the younger audiences, like I don't feel that they would want to put as much time and effort into one single game, like unless it's just a pick up and play kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But like, do you think it's like a grind aspect, or do you think it's like a long story aspect?
I think it's the long story. Yeah, I think the younger crowd like just doesn't have the fucking attention span.
The ADD kids hopped up on Ritalin just don't give a shit about sitting and watching people talk in a game. They would rather, bro, I gotta fucking shoot you in the head, bro, and then fucking COD, bro. Dude, where's my dog?
Well, I kind of consider it like, you know, almost like reading a book, you know? It's like an interactive book.
Right.
Yeah, and kids today don't know what the fuck a book is either.
No.
Yeah, they're like, what's that? You know, it's made of paper.
Why is it heavy?
You know? I don't want to carry this around. It's so heavy.
I have to like turn pages. Can't I just swipe? Yeah, with a little more force on your finger. And then the page will flip over and you keep reading. That's like fucking work.
Yeah, they think books are like weights for like air balloons, you know?
Could be.
Sandbags.
Could be.
Very true.
But yeah, I mean, like, I'm actually really interested in the noir-esque kind of thing, because I did play, obviously, I played a little bit of L.A. Noire, which noir is in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that one has an E at the end.
It does.
Yeah.
What is the difference between those? Is there a difference between those?
What, the new R with an E and the new R with an R?
The no ire and the no ire.
Well, I've seen it actually both ways. I think it's just really kind of how you want to use it. I'm pretty sure it means the same thing, though.
You probably should have looked that up before you cemented it.
Pop quiz, motherfucker.
Well, you know what? Probably. That's probably right.
I mean, I've seen it written both ways, you know. So I kind of was like with noir instead of noir A, you know.
Noir A. Like, yeah, like shop and shop A.
Yeah.
Shoppy. Ice cream shoppy.
Yeah. I've always said that. Always.
Chopay.
Or like the dogs, like Chopay. Or what is it? Like Chopays or Sharpay. Yeah, something like that. Sharpay. Yeah, it's like Sean. God. It's like Shant and Shantae.
You know,
Shantae.
You shan't go there.
Something like that. Shantae. Oh, yeah.
You know, what's really funny is that I went to high school with two people named Shantae.
Really?
Yeah. Two girls named Shantae. That's really weird.
This is going to sound incredibly, incredibly racist, but were they both
Don't
black?
Do it. Don't.
Were they?
Well, actually, one was... one was Puerto Rican and the other one was African American. So
yeah, close enough.
Yeah,
that's just not a white chick name.
Could
no,
be.
No, it really kind of isn't. Could be. Although I've seen white people's names like be like Olive or something like that, and you'll be like, Apple? Really? You know, like why did they name you that? That's horrible.
I like that he said their name be like.
I caught up. I caught on that, and I didn't want to say it because
I had to.
I want to just like loop that at the end of this. They'd be like, "What?" And then they'd be like,
"Then they'd be like, "Hi."
Hashtag they be like,
"Shantae."
Oh man!
So we are way the fuck off course.
Hey man, it happens.
So tell us about the actual Kickstarter.
The actual Kickstarter?
Yes.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this, too, is that a lot of people, like a lot of the older people that I know, people that are like 50 and over, they actually hate our Kickstarter video. And I guess I can understand why, because, you know, Tim says fuck in it. God forbid, you know, you curse.
So what? Like, but,
yeah, right? You know, that's what I don't...
How fucking
you know,
dare he?
You know, not everything has got to be, you know, politically correct, you know? Especially in the video game realm, you know, especially when you're trying to tailor toward people who play video games, versus just the old people who are like, yeah, we know who you are and, we'll donate to your Kickstarter if it's a, you know, worthwhile investment, but, we don't play video games ourselves.
That's the thing. That's not what you guys are trying to go towards.
Yeah. Right. We're old school gaming fans making games for old school gaming fans. That's kind of how I feel about it.
And that's why I think like adding that little bit, because when I watch the video,
yeah,
like you hit everything up until that point and then you're just like, okay, you know, standard affair, tell us what's going on, whatever. And then it gets to Tim and he's just like, fuck it, let's do a Kickstarter. And then like you get all the information for the game, you're like, you're like, cool, I dig it. Like it's like
do you like the outtakes at the end where like Canola's just like
yeah, it's great. It was wonderful, actually.
It's a detective story that you're starting a detective firm. or where Canola says, hey, just give me the money.
Hey, just give me the money.
I love that at the end. That was the best part, actually. So dead honest, you know?
Hey, just give me the money.
The thing about the Kickstarter is that I think like a lot of people just watch the video, and I really try to encourage everybody to just read through it. You know, mm-hmm. it's going to take like 3 minutes of your time to read through it. And just check it out, you know, check out the talent that we have on our team, check out the artwork, check out the little animated GIFs that we have for the ideas that we're making currently.
Oh my God.
Game.
He said animated GIF.
It's a GIF.
GIF. GIF.
It's a GIF.
Okay. GIF. See, I said GIF because in, back in the day, they used to, in like printing presses, they used to use like GIFs for certain CMYK colors. So I'm always used to like my shop boss
talk.
Telling me it's a GIF. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's kind of where I got it from.
It's a GIF.
Yeah, it's a GIF.
It's a GIF.
No matter what the creator of it says, it's a GIF.
It's a GIF.
I will never accept the word GIF.
Well, I didn't create the GIF or GIF. Although I did create the GIF or GIF for the Kickstarter.
That is a GAF. No,
the GAF. No, and speaking of the talent that you guys have on your team, I mean, like, obviously, I don't want to say, like, I guess he is a friend of the show's, but we haven't had him on yet. You know, Mr. A Rival is on your team.
Indeed.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. And the thing is that we really, I personally would like him to be more involved. He's pretty involved as it is, but he's got a lot of stuff like going on his own thing, like with his music and things like that. I just really would like to see him just more involved with us. That's all. And yeah. I guess that's just me being greedy, but.
Well, hey man, like I completely understand that. If
he's
I had
got, what, his solo music, he's got Super Square. He has to routinely destroy people in Street Fighter.
Yep. That is a requirement of his weekly, you know,
pretty
itinerary.
Much.
Yeah, and listen, you know, like, I'm not against that he's doing all these other things. I just kind of wish he would dedicate more time to us, you know, kind of like how you kind of wish Tim was, you know, more dedicated toward you guys.
That's I got it. I understand.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I don't know what we would do if he was here.
Probably.
Like, we just wouldn't know what to talk about, because
what, me?
No, if Tim was here. Just be
I
like,
know. We would talk about Len, actually. So,
yeah,
so I know that
bring me up. I do listen to your show, by the way.
Do you?
He's mentioned it.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember bumping into him at even at MAGFest. He was saying that he was listening to stuff.
Yeah, but I don't actually believe people when they say they listen to our show.
Well,
your show.
Except for Zach.
Zach
you know
and
what
Randall.
I like it because. For some reason, I really like when I can listen to a conversation and work at the same time. So,
it's as if someone's talking to you, but you can drone them out.
I'll be working on my pixel art, and I'll be listening to you guys or, you know, another podcast or whatever.
Works out perfectly.
The road is so loud where you are.
Like the loudest road ever.
Yeah, well, South Jersey, you know. Roads.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, yeah, those roads are pretty loud.
I'm waiting for him to start hitting some rumble strips just to fuck with us.
That'd be hysterical. We're riding the side of the road. Something like that. So, I mean, not to get slightly away from Pixel Noir, but since you guys were at PAX, and I know you were saying that you pretty much, your full-time job was at pretty much like at the table for PAX, did you get to do anything else interesting while you were down there?
Well, I got to walk around the convention hall for about a half hour after everybody kind of cleared out with Tim and my 3D environmental artist, Steven. And we just like looked around, basically. And Tim scavenged for cards and that he could sell. So like the skin cards.
The skin cards for League.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And that was about it. That was pretty much it. The only other thing that was kind of weird and uninteresting, and it kind of sucked because I kind of felt like I was working there, is that we had to share our room with like seven other people. You know?
Wow.
It was basically me, Kinal, Tim, and five other people.
Who were the other people? Just random.
Friends of Tim and the person that we were doing the hotel deal with. It was kind of weird. And then they got like in a fight on the first night, and it was just like
really, you know, you're gonna turn this into high school now? Come on, you know, like Road Rules Challenge. Let's
Road Rules Challenge.
Yeah, you know, like I don't know. It was just so screwed up, you know, like in that respect. But I mean, you know, they were cool people, like by themselves, like Road if you talk rules. To each one of them, they were cool. But like, I don't know, like all together, they kind of like fought, and it was kind of weird. And
I still can't get over the Road Rules. I'm gonna be thinking about Road Rules for the rest of the day now.
I used to love that show too.
Like the Real World Road Rules Challenge. Like that was basically the reality TV show that we had.
Nice.
You should have filmed it.
Yeah, I really should have. I should have recorded it. You guys could have.
And then put that as like the update on the Kickstarter page. Like, here's the first day of PAX. Like,
no, you're a fucking idiot. Start slapping each other.
That'd be hysterical. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't really get a chance to see a lot of what came out of PAX, obviously because I wasn't there because I had to sell my tickets. I've seen some stuff, some reports of like some games and stuff like that have been coming out of it. I think there was a DC like MOBA.
I have no idea.
It was like Infinity Crisis or something like that, I think is the name of it.
Well, there was the indie game Mega Booth, which we were supposed to kind of be on, but we didn't because we kind of submitted our submission a little too late for that. But there was some pretty cool games in there I got to check out, Samurai Gun. Did you guys hear about that?
No, I haven't.
Or Hyper Light Drifter. I got to like check out a little bit of footage with that. That was kind of cool.
So what is Samurai Gun like?
Samurai Gun is like this platformer RPG kind of, and you just like fly around the screen. It's like the coolest thing ever, and it's like old school looking. Like it's definitely like 8-bit, and it's just a neat game. I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. It kind of reminds me of like Bonk's Adventure, but if you were like a samurai and you were just like totally kick ass, you know.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
A Bonk's Adventure reference is definitely.
Yeah.
Not something you expect to hear.
Can't say I
then
hear
again,
that
again, we already had a Road Rules reference. So
yeah, I kind of reference a lot of old school stuff.
Dude, like, I'm so Road Rules. We need to have like a gaming Road Rules challenge that we just take trips to try and find like everybody that we know. Like, we'll finally go out to Boston and we'll check out Harmonix and we'll like.
Yo, you guys got to bring the cricket chirp back. Because, like, when I said Road Rules Challenge, you could have had the...
Dude, that's all Grant. I don't know how to do it. Grant's
no,
gonna...
that's not Grant. That's George.
Oh, was it George?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Grant that did it.
Yeah. Well,
I saw Grant at PAX, too. Actually.
Yeah, I know. I saw that he was Grant. There. I'm bummed that I couldn't go.
Wait. That was fun.
Because I want to talk to him about possibly doing something. Because I want to play at MAGFest. I really want to play at MAGFest, like, more than anything.
Yeah, really, you know what? You didn't really miss too much being at PAX, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's a lot of money, to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? Honestly, I know with how much I spent last year. I mean, now, granted, I had an awesome fucking time last year.
Yeah.
I got a lot, like, I was able to get a lot of shit for free. I got to see a lot of stuff that I wanted to see. I got my hands on a lot of games that I was interested in. The Elder Scrolls Online party was off the chain. The fucking the Borderlands panel was awesome. And that was another thing, too. The Borderlands panel, like, this year, they ended up giving everybody a copy of the new game when it comes out.
Nice.
Wow, cool.
Like, I know a couple buddies of mine went to it, and they have, like, a little piece of cardboard that has, like, a code that they essentially just, like, put in, and they get a copy of the game, like, when it comes out for completely for free, which is fucking nuts, and I'm jelly. But, I mean, like, honestly, like... I'm still really bummed that I wasn't able to go this year, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I just think, I feel like the whole PAX MAGFest thing, like, I feel more connected to MAGFest. And I've only been to one. Yeah. Now, granted, I've only been to one of PAX as well, but, and they were, like, pretty close together, so I can do a pretty decent comparison between the two, but, like, dude, MAGFest is just, they're two completely different things.
Yeah, I tell everyone, PAX is a convention, MAGFest is a party.
It's the best way to put it, honestly. Like, it's not like, when you were telling me that the first time, like, I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a thing. Like, but no, like, I mean, there's obviously like convention-esque things that are going on at MAGFest.
Yeah.
Sure. But even still, I mean, like, it's, I don't know, it's just, it feels so much more social.
Yeah.
Which you know, is like, you know, which is a good thing.
You know what it is too, Chris, is that like, you're a musician, so, you know, you'd fit you fit in better at MAGFest, you know? And
yeah.
And so, you know, and so does like all the other musician friends that I have, you know, they probably all feel better going to there than they would PAX.
Now, speaking of PAX and MAGFest together, we'll have a little bit of news, because we do have to touch a little bit of news stories.
Yeah. The dates for MAGFest 13 have been announced, and they are exactly the same as the dates for PAX South.
Which, well, PAX South is a new thing that they essentially just like announced.
Yeah, it's a new PAX down in Texas.
Which,
oh,
yeah, so they're going to have a PAX down in Texas in January.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is the same dates as MAGFest.
Yeah.
So, now, to be completely honest with you, the way that I feel about it, I think this will actually take away some of the casual, like, go to MAGFest just because it's a gaming thing and it's, yeah, you know, beginning of the year and I want something to go to kind of thing. So I think it might wean out some of those people that are just there to be there.
Yeah, maybe.
Which could be a good thing and could be a bad thing. I don't foresee it putting a hindrance on how big MAGFest has become.
True.
However, I think the attendance numbers, I don't foresee them growing. They may stay the same now. Because the growth that you would see, I think those people are going to go.
But think about it like this, Chris. Think about it like this. You're going to have a bunch of different PAXs, right?
Uh-huh.
PAX East, PAX Prime, now PAX South, right? Is there any other PAX that I'm missing?
Don't they have PAX Australia, too?
They do.
Yeah, something like that. So there's four PAX, right? There's only one MAGFest, man. So,
well,
you know what I mean?
Now there's two.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I don't think it's going to thin out the crowd too much, but you could be right.
Well, because now, like we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, it's not a, like, is it actually confirmed now? Like,
I think it's confirmed, but there, I don't know for sure. There's like no actual solid news except people saying, yes, it's happening. But apparently a MAGFest 8.5 is going to happen at the old Hilton Hotel that we were at for years in, I think, September or something like that, where they're looking to have it feel more like the older MAGFests before the growth just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're calling it MAGFest 8.5 is because MAGFest 9 was like the bad MAGFest at the Hilton because it just got so big. They had to cut it, like cap off attendance because there were just too many people. The systems were slow. There were lines. It was just like, behind the scenes, a bad year for MAGFest.
So couldn't they just make it like 9.2?
Well, no, they want it to be before MAGFest 9.
Oh, okay.
So they're going with MAGFest 8.5.
And then the one after that will be 8.6.
8.52.
Yeah. something like that.
Who knows?
But 8.5 squared.
I know for sure that when January rolls around, I will absolutely be going to MAGFest and have zero interest in PAX.
Well, the thing that I'm worried about is there's a lot of people in the video game music kind of scene that have been, like, I've been following like a lot of the stuff that's been going on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And there has been a couple that have actually been debating, like, do I go to MAGFest or do I go to PAX? Because they've never been to a PAX. And now it's essentially right in their backyard. Like, Texas is a big state, but at the same time, like, there are a ton of people in the video game remix community from Texas.
Yeah.
I would say probably about 60% of the people that I met at MAGFest this year were from Texas. and that's not an exaggeration. Like, it's kind of crazy.
Well, you know, from my point of view, like, I've been to both for the first time this year, PAX East and MAGFest, right? And I got to say, I really enjoyed myself more so at MAGFest just because it was just more within my interest. There was also, you know, the expo floor was even cool. I mean, I got to play old school games that I haven't played in like, damn, man, like what, 15, 16, 17 years.
Yep. Yeah.
And And at PAX, you don't really get to do that. You get to check out all the newer games that people are playing. So it really kind of depends on your interests, you know?
Yeah, I think that's why I'm a little drawn more towards MAGFest is because you have the music side of it, but you also have more of the retro kind of feel to it. Like, even like having the arcade, like the shit ton of arcade cabinets. Now, they have a room like that at PAX. However, the one at MAGFest puts it to shame. And that's just the fucking truth.
And let's not forget one of the important differences between PAX and MAGFest. MAGFest doesn't shut down at night.
No. Well, PAX, no. Oh, okay. PAX technically, like, it does and it doesn't. Like, I was able to keep myself very occupied the entire time that I was at PAX, even though everybody else was sleeping like a bitch. like, first night of PAX that I was there, like, I was there until about 3 o'clock in the morning, came back, went to sleep, and then woke back up at 6. Like, I was fucking ready to roll. MAGFest, I kind of felt the same way, but that's also because I had earplugs in because everybody else in my room was snoring like a motherfucker. So I slept like a rock. Nice. So like I got a little more sleep at MAGFest, sort of. And then that impromptu, like, oh, now I'm going to play show, like a fucking impromptu show in fucking Jam Space.
Yeah.
Now I have to like remix all of the fucking like songs that I had like without the drums and try and play along to it. Like, it was a clusterfuck, but it was fun.
It was a good show. You pulled it off.
It was interesting.
For a last minute thing.
It was extremely last minute. I went down there. I went down to Jam Space at like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, hey, can I play here tomorrow? They're like, yeah, sure, whatever. It was fucking great. It was fun. But yeah, I mean, like,
I thought it was like pretty much like a fly at the seat of your pants kind of thing. You know, you could sign up, you could walk in whenever and jam. It was awesome.
That's pretty much what happened. It was just like it wasn't planned at all.
And then Jam Space got so big that they made a shed space just for bands who want to put together tiny shows.
Well,
or the more serious musicians.
The more serious musicians were, which, to be completely honest, like when I went into Shed Space, like, you know, I think it might have just been when I went, like it just didn't really have the right people in it.
Yeah.
But when I went, it was just very like, I don't know. I didn't really care for it because there wasn't, it was basically just everybody get in and jam and then explain what went wrong in the jam. And then, like, don't try and fix it. Just go and try it again and then see if it fails. Like, it was just, I don't know. It wasn't as more of a, I thought there would be more serious discussions in there, and it was really just kind of
fuck around.
Yeah.
And...
But I don't know. I mean, like, it's definitely, like, it was something new. So
God, I wish it was to, like, fucking January now. Like, I really want to go to MAGFest.
I know, right? I missed it.
Actually,
so much.
Guys, I'm actually looking to sell art there next year.
Ooh.
At MAGFest?
Like full frame.
Yeah, we're losing you.
Pixar type stuff. Yeah. Because, I'm sorry. Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Wow, that must be a huge delay.
Yeah, there is. There's a big delay.
But, anyway.
Yeah, I'll keep talking.
Go. So you're going to sell some
art? We'll be over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually looking to sell, like, big portions of, like, pixel art there, like poster size type stuff, just because I got to see that there was a few other people there doing it at MAGFest, and I was like, shit, man, I should be doing this. So.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to be a little bit more, like, hands-on with MAGFest next year. I mean, like, obviously, like, you know, this year, essentially all I did was I tried pimping my CD out as much as possible just to try and pay for the trip because I was broke as shit.
And then me forcing people to buy your CD.
My fucking bouncer.
What's up? This is my friend Chris. Buy his CD now.
God damn it.
Hi.
I bought one.
You did.
I did. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, like, I was kind of like in slight work mode. So I mean, like, I definitely didn't. I probably didn't experience as much as I wanted to, but I think honestly, like, this next year, like, I kind of want to, I kind of want to go full bore, and I really just, like, I want to make sure that I play. Like, that is my primary, like, goal. I want to play at MAGFest, like, this next one coming up.
Well, who knows? With PAX and MAGFest happening at the same time, there might be a couple extra openings.
And that's the thing that I was kind of worried about, too, because obviously, like, there's the people that do the jam space at PAXs and stuff like that, and then, you know, obviously, like, they set stuff up for that as well.
Yeah.
I actually saw a post from... Big John, and he was like evil plot number one, book the same bands at MAGFest and PAX and see which ones arrive at which ones.
Big John, Big Matt?
Big Matt. I'm sorry. I don't know. I saw the Mateo. I think it might be his middle name or something. I forget. Yeah. Or it might be just what he has on Facebook. I forget. But yeah, Matt, like, I saw that post and I was just like, oh, that's fucking hysterical. But then it made me think, I was like, oh yeah, you're kind of right. Like, I don't know what would happen in those regards. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll probably find out more as the, you know, as time progresses.
As long as Lonely Rolling Stars are at MAGFest, I'm good.
Well, there you go. As long as Lonely Rolling Stars does a thing. Well, because the other thing is, too, I was kind of thinking, will Metroid Metal do a thing since they just put out that CD at MAGFest, upcoming MAGFest?
I wouldn't be surprised.
So
Grant will be in like 12 seven, concerts.
Yes, seven bands. Something like
he's
that.
He's in fucking everything.
Pretty much.
Oh. By the way, I actually bought the Bit Brigade CD, the one that's of all the Ninja Gaiden music. Oh, nice. That is such a good album. You guys got to check that out.
It is really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we've played Bit Brigade on the show. I think we played that times. On the MAGFest episode.
We may have. Yeah. I forget.
Because someone requested it.
It's starting to become a blur, Joe. I'm starting to forget what we've done on past episodes.
Yeah.
Now.
We talked about games.
And stuff. And things.
So, Len, what are you playing?
Yeah. What am I playing?
Yeah.
Okay. I got a few things that I'm playing right now. I'm playing the Final Fantasy Tactics A2 for Nintendo DS.
Nice.
Just as my... I actually explained the way I play games to Kanaw. Which was that I play like two or three RPGs at one time, and I have one where I like grind, and I have one where I like really like the story, and then I kind of bounce between like that and doing the three, you know.
Nice.
So there's never any like boring time of like just grinding, you know. I can always just hop to the next story, and then it still makes sense to me. I don't know. I guess my brain works that way. but I've been playing Final Fantasy Tactics A2 for the DS. I've been also playing I've been playing the Ease game for Vita.
Ooh, that's a really good game too.
It is a really good game. Hey, and get this, right? For Christmas, Tim actually got me the collector's set, and it has a book in there that's written in the first person of the hero, like a diary.
Yeah.
And it's like a strategy guide. It is the coolest thing. I mean, I'm not really into like collector sets, but dude, that is like the coolest thing ever to get in a collector set, I think.
Yeah, that was a pretty good collector set.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if it's a collector set, I refer to Joe and ask him first.
I have it. Of course I have it.
Of course you have it. Yeah. Oh, man. So
no, I just got two collector's editions in this week. I got Conception 2 for the Vita.
Yeah.
It's not much of a collector edition. It just comes with a bonus soundtrack.
Was it an Immaculate Conception? I can't help it. I'm sorry.
Fuck you. And then I got Final Fantasy 14 collector edition for PS4.
Oh, the PS4 that you don't currently have in your possession?
Yeah. Remember last time my PS4 broke and I was like, hey, Sony service was really good. I sent it out on Tuesday and got it back on Friday. I sent mine out last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, yeah.
FedEx delivered it to them on Thursday. And then yesterday I got an email saying that they received my system.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I don't think this time is going to be very good with Sony service.
That's
why when I was talking to Kunal about the Kickstarter, I was like, are you trying to get anything for, you know, Xbox or anything not PS4?
Not PlayStation related.
Because I don't know if I'll have my ninth system back by the time your game releases.
Right.
Well, you know what? There's a problem with PlayStations in general. I mean, I've had every PlayStation. I've had the 1 to the 4, you know, and they've all had significant flaws, like in their V1s. You know, like if you buy them right out the gate, you're gonna get something that's just gonna break.
Finally,
you know?
Someone is on my side with this.
If you actually like wait a year, what's that?
I said, finally, someone's on my side with fucking Sony systems being shitty hardware. Everyone's like, no, it's only Xbox. Yeah, Xboxes break.
But to be fair, Joe, is that I think they both have their problems in their V1s. You know what I mean? I think you got to wait until the price goes down, and then you can buy one that actually will last you and you won't have to send it back to Sony. That's been my experience with a lot of game consoles, actually. So,
except Nintendo.
Just some friendly advice, just so like you don't have to like keep mailing the shit back and forth and all that kind of crap. Yeah, actually, my Wii died, like probably about 2 months after I had it, and then I had to take it back to GameStop and get a new one.
That is surprising. Wii or Wii U?
Wii.
Well,
was it new or used?
It was new.
Huh.
Straight out the box.
Yeah. Hmm. That is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I always thought Wiis were built like tanks. I mean, yeah. I've seen broken ones, obviously.
I mean, it happens.
It's going to happen, but the likelihood of that happening and the ratio in which you have like good ones to bad ones is far less significant on Nintendo consoles than everything else.
No, nobody is perfect.
So I got...
Pobody is nerfing, Joe. Pobody is nerfing.
Guys, have you guys ever had to like turn over your PlayStation, like your PlayStation 1?
Yeah. Yes, I've talked about that on the show before too.
So it would actually work.
Yep.
Yeah, isn't that retarded?
Yeah.
What?
That's too funny. Yeah, I honestly thought that I was like a weirdo when I had to start doing that with my PlayStation 1. I actually kind of want a PlayStation 1 now. I want to either that or I kind of want a PlayStation 2. Like, I'm not going to lie. I kind of want a PlayStation 2. The library was so ridiculous, and I can get PlayStation 1 games for it too. Like, I'd be able to get like the Crash Bandicoots and stuff like that and Spyro. Because I've never actually been able to complete any of those games because I just didn't have the time. Because when I was younger, I was just like, you know, I was getting into music and stuff like that, and that was kind of mainly my thing.
I think we have some of the Spyro games, like one or two of them, I think.
That'd be awesome. Like, I want to play those so bad, because I remember even Jordan was telling me, like some of her favorite games were, like, the Spyro, like, Bandicoot kind of stuff. And I'm like, I kind of sat
Spyro
and thought about
Bandicoot.
It. Like, nice. Spyro Bandicoot. But that kind of stuff, like, I was just like, you know what? I can't say that I've actually been able to sit down. I mean, I've played them before.
Yeah.
In passing, but I've never like
finished
played one. You know what I mean?
What about a PSP? Do you guys have any of that?
I would love to get a Vita.
But a PSP.
I would love to get a Vita. A PSP, I do not.
I have a PSP. I have the blue one from the Invisimals bundle. And that is a sexy blue. It really is.
You know what I like about the PSP? I really like that you can hook a PSP to a TV. I just think that is like the coolest fucking thing ever. Because that's like cross-play functionality if you think about it, you know?
Sort of, yeah.
I hate the fact that if you do hook your PSP up to a TV and you play a game, the game takes up like a third of the screen.
Yeah.
That's shitty.
Yeah, well, that's why I like playing it on my nice little 52-inch... Gigantor TV, so
yeah, then it almost looks like it's good size.
Then it's like a 42, which is cool.
I know the PlayStation 3D TV has a PSP setting on it.
Yeah.
So when you switch it to that, it puts the game in full screen.
Because they think about that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to mess around with that.
Do you have the 3D display?
That is. I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Just check the video settings. There's a PSP video setting.
I didn't know that.
Setting.
That's
viable.
That's gonna be sweet.
Yeah, I have my PSP Go hooked up to the 3D TV.
The PSP Go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I actually really wanted a PSP when they came out. mainly just because, like, dude, they were fucking powerful. They were very powerful for a handheld.
Yeah.
And even the Vita, dude, the Vita is fucking impressive.
It is.
The Vita is very impressive. Hey guys, with the price drop.
If you want to do RPGs, man, like RPGs are like all over the PSP.
Yeah. Well, not only that, like honestly, I kind of want to pick up like the new Borderlands. If they're going to put that out on like the, because they're doing the bundle. Like Borderlands 2.
That's next month, yeah.
But even still, I mean, like, Borderlands 2 was fucking great. But just the idea of being able to take that on the go, like, damn, like, it's...
I don't know. I saw some videos of it. I wasn't too impressed. I mean, the fact that they crammed all of that down into a PS Vita is, I guess it's...
That's extremely impressive in my eyes.
It's impressive, but I don't know. After playing the 360 version, going to the Vita version, I don't think I could.
No. No. I don't know. I mean, like, it's definitely like, well, because, hey, I'm playing it on PC. So yeah.
there's significantly less enemies on screen at once. And when you kill something, they just explode. Like, the bodies don't, they just kind of like poof and disappear.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, but even
you'll have to pull up a video and look. I don't know. I'm not going to pick it up.
I don't know. I mean, like, there's definitely, like, there's stuff that I want to pick up. There's still a ton of shit that I need to get in my 3DS. So it's,
I think handhelds in general are pretty fucking rock solid when it comes to RPGs.
Yeah, because even, well, you know, Bravely Default and Pokemans.
Yeah, we talked about before, like, if we could pick our favorite system, and I went with the original DS because... It had all the DS RPGs. It had all the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance RPGs. I mean, it had fucking everything. It has pretty much Final Fantasy 1 through 6.
Yeah, you want to take an extensive library? Holy shit.
You know,
yeah.
You know, I've never had a DS before, and then I bought a 3DS, and I was like, holy shit, there's a world of RPGs that I haven't played yet.
Oh, you know? God, yeah. There are so many, too.
Yeah.
Well, because even what is it like, Jordan? What's the Dragon's Quest? Dragon's Quest ones. Like she's played those before, and I remember like I don't even remember seeing those. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're on something else, right? On something else.
1 through 4 were on the NES.
Yeah.
5 and 6. I don't think we ever got here. Those were on the Super Nintendo. 7 was on the PlayStation.
Well, 5 and 6 you could get if you had an emulator and you could hack ROMs with the English patches.
Right. Yeah, I'm just talking about games that actually released here. 8 was on the PS2, 9 was on the DS, and then 10 is, I don't even know if we're going to get that or not, but that's on the Wii.
I thought that was on the DS
as
well.
And DS.
Yeah. I think we've gotten that.
No, we don't have 10.
Really?
Because 10 is an MMO.
Yeah.
9 is the last one that we got, and that's on the DS.
I thought there was there's definitely more than one on the DS.
Yeah, 4, 5, and 6 re-released on the DS.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I was just like, I remember
seeing there's one on the PlayStation.
Yeah, 7 is on the PlayStation, 8 is on the PS2. And 8 is fucking incredible. Oh my God, 8 is so good.
You know what would actually be really interesting to me? I know like this series is pretty much dead, and obviously I have Diablo, but Champions of Noroth.
Yeah.
Like that was really like the action RPG kind of like hack and slash dungeon crawler kind of thing. Like I would love to have a handheld Diablo. That's what I want. Like, I want something like a Champions of Noroth or, like, a fucking Torchlight or something like that. Like, I know there was that Heroes of...
I was going to say Heroes of Ruin on the 3DS.
I've seen it, but I just haven't had a chance to actually, like, put my hands on it and solid. See if it's, like, half decent.
It's solid.
Plus,
it's online, so if you get it, we could play together.
I've been looking at it for a while now. It's definitely been, like, on my radar.
Do it.
I mean,
don't trade it a week later.
I normally don't like to trade my games. I only do it when I have to. But
boner.
Hey, my honestly, like, as far as like games, like it, the next games that I'm going to be looking at, if it's not something that's PC related where I can get it like stupid cheap,
yeah.
I want to fix up an Xbox for myself, and I want Skate. I'm having withdrawals. Like, it's bad.
Oh,
it's
God.
Really, really bad. But I want Skate. You know, I kind of want to start playing Rock Band again. So my main thing is like the next, if I'm getting anything gaming related, like the next thing is just going to be like, re-getting an Xbox just so I have something for the TV. Cause the TV doesn't really get like utilized for anything other than Netflix. So until I burn myself out on Diablo, if I burn myself out on Diablo, I will eventually play Earthbound on the Wii.
Yeah, you really should.
Oh man, Earthbound is so good. You guys have had to play that, right?
Well, Earthbound is Joe's favorite game.
It is. I have my box copy at
mine
home.
Mine too, dude.
Fuck, I organized a remix project for Earthbound years and years ago.
So Joe,
that Kunal is on.
Joe is definitely adept with.
I think it's joecam.net/bound together, all lowercase, one word.
Joe, you've played Mother 3, though, right?
Huh?
Mother 3.
You've played
Mother 3.
I've played a little bit of Mother 3. The emulation for it is kind of wonky because the actual battle system is music-based, where, like, to deal maximum damage, you have to kind of hit along to the music. And the emulation doesn't get that right, so it's a lot harder to play. I do own the cart, though, from Japan.
Yeah,
one of these days I'm going to find... I think someone
released
a patched version of Mother 3 where it's either patched or there's a cheat where you just attack and you do maximum attacks no matter what.
Yeah, but you would have to learn Japanese,
like going
right?
No, it... That's usually where I get all that kind of good stuff, where you can hack the ROMs in that way and everything.
Now, there was a fan translation for it that they fully translated it.
Yeah.
Fangamer actually put out a strategy guide for the game, all fan-made.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Oh, funny story, actually. To go along with that, the Fangamer who did the art for that was going to actually... be like a fellow pixel artist along with me to help do the environments for Pixel Noir.
Nice.
But she quit. She had a different job going on. I think she was working for like Disney or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, that would have been really cool to get her on.
So is it safe to say that she let it go?
God, fuck you.
She let it go.
Fuck you.
Hey,
I didn't even see the movie yet and I already know the reference.
Oh, the movie's so good.
It's fantastic.
Too.
Yeah, I want to see that and I want to see the Lego one. Like really, really bad.
Yeah, Lego Movie was really good too.
So Joe, what are you playing?
Lately I've been playing a shitload of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Not surprised.
They actually released some free DLC with new characters and a new map and free because it's free and
free
it's
because
awesome.
Free.
And I have been playing a lot of Ragnarok Odyssey Ace on the Vita.
Ragnarok Odyssey Ace.
Yes. The original Ragnarok Odyssey came out last year, I think. And then they re-released it with a bunch of added content. I'm noticing a really shitty trend on the Vita because between Ragnarok Odyssey, Soul Sacrifice, and Tokiden, all of them have been released. And then we just got Ragnarok Odyssey Ace. Soul Sacrifice Delta is coming. And then there's a second version of Tokiden that apparently we're getting as well, where instead of just like putting out DLC, it's the Capcom syndrome, where they release a game and then a year later, there's a better version of the game.
But it's a full disc and you got to buy the whole thing. And God,
I mean, I know with Ragnarok Odyssey, it let me transfer my character over, but it's like a whole new set of trophies and you have to start the game over.
Oh, God.
Yeah, your character, like, you have your old character with some of the, like, not all the stuff, all the equipment transferred over, but some of it did. Your level transferred over, but I don't know. It's just, shitty that they're coming out with new version, better versions of games you already bought.
Yeah, that is really shitty, actually.
But Ragnarok Odyssey Ace is really fucking good, so. I actually picked it up for the PS3 as well, so because they have cross-save where I could play it there and then play it on a big screen when I go home.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you something about Plants vs. Zombies. Somebody at our booth at PAX actually came up to me and said, oh, you know, you're doing cross-save just like Plants vs. Zombies. Does Plants vs. Zombies have a cross-play? I didn't think it did.
No.
Not that I remember.
No, not that I know of.
Yeah. Okay, so the guy didn't know what the hell he was talking about. All right. That happens a lot.
I don't know if he's talking about Plants vs. Zombies 2, which is mobile. I haven't played that at all. I don't know if
Tim
there's
did.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anything there, but Garden Warfare is out on 360 and Xbox One, and as far as I know, there's no crossplay between the systems. There might be for all I know, but I'm pretty sure there's not.
Right.
No idea.
There's no cross saving either that I know of, but I only have it on Xbox One, so I can't really verify that. But oh my god, the game is so fucking fun.
Yep, and as far as me, Diablo,
Diablo,
and I will say this, and I'm very upset at myself for doing this, but I blame Chris Piccolotti. I downloaded Clash of Clans on my phone, so that's a thing. It's basically it's like a if you're familiar with what Clash of Clans is, and it's honestly I don't even know why I'm doing it. I think I kind of just. I don't know. I was looking for something else mobile related, but something that I don't have to like sit and actually like
think.
Yeah. I don't know. I need a good mobile game. Someone needs to suggest me a good free mobile game.
I don't know because you have a droid.
Yeah. So. Android. So you know what? Here, if anybody's still listening to this point, listeners, emails for next week, thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Free Android mobile games that are fun. Give me a list. Give me some suggestions because I want something to play on the go. Because pretty much, honestly, the majority of the time that I actually have to play a game is really when I'm pooping. So either that or like really, 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 really late at night playing
I got a game I can kind of recommend.
I'm ready.
You ever play Stair Dismount?
No. What is it?
No, it's where like you have to strategically throw yourself down a flight of stairs and try to break as many bones as you can. It's actually kind of cool.
I'm interested.
I had it on iPhone.
I used to play it on PC, but
huh? Okay then. All right. Well, there's one. I'll work on that one.
I would tell you to check out Seven Little Words, but I don't think you would do well.
Seven Little Words.
Yes, it's a thinking game. Like
I
it's
can
a puzzle
think,
game.
God damn
well,
it.
You said you're looking for something mindless to play while you're pooping.
I could think while I'm pooping.
It's pretty much there are seven words, and all the words are chopped up into like two, three, or four letter clusters.
Okay.
And they're in a grid at the bottom, and you have to find the words that match the clues at the top. So it's kind of like a mix of a word search and a crossword.
Huh.
But the words are clumped together. The free version has, I think, 50 puzzles. And then they have a free daily puzzle every day. And then, of course, there are puzzle packs that you could buy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's going to be microtransactions and pretty much anything that gets suggested.
I bought so many of the puzzle packs on the iPhone. And then I switched over to Windows Phone. And the game came out for Windows Phone. And I've been buying all the same puzzle packs over again. Because I love the game so fucking much.
Huh. Well, I could give that one a shot.
Yeah, it's a
we'll
buck
see.
For 50 puzzles, or they have like a 500 pack for $5, 250 for like $3, something like that.
Jeez.
There's a lot.
So I guess last thing is, did we get any emails?
No, just some bullshit from YouTube, despite me repeatedly unsubscribing from all emails from YouTube. They're like, oh, well, we thought you wanted to hear about sharks.
I like sharks.
No, YouTube, you can go fuck yourself. I don't want your emails.
I like sharks.
There is something we should talk about, though. The big news today was that Marty O'Donnell, the in-house composer for Bungie, who has worked on the Halo series. His music's going to be in Destiny. He was terminated without cause from Bungie.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so...
He did something bad.
Well, they said without cause, so he just... I don't know.
Well, the other thing is, too, is now I didn't even really think about that. It could be one of those things where they just say without cause to save face for him. Like, it could be one of those kind of things where, like, he might have done something like, you know, and I'm not saying that he did, but maybe if he, like, did any kind of, like, sexual harassment kind of thing or something that would be HR related that would be bad for the company and or him. And they were just like, listen, you've done a lot for us. We'll let you leave on good terms. We'll just say that we just got rid of you for no reason.
Yeah, well, there's not much information except for the fact that one of the only remaining members of Bungie who was there since the beginning was, from what we hear, let go for no reason at all.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's odd. Usually what happens is they like make them resign. You know what I mean? And then they publish that. Yeah. Rather than making a big political fiasco out of it, you know, like that.
Yeah, so that's been the big story, a buzz today.
I don't know why they would do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll find out some more information as the days progress, but, you know, so maybe we'll have more to report next week.
I think it'd be cool if he went and hooked up with Microsoft, went with 343 Studios, and just went back to working on Halo.
That could be a thing.
Or give Activision a big fuck you and go work with EA.
Oh, God. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, I'll take EA over Activision.
Joe, I've been meaning to ask you, why are you such a big Microsoft fan? Just quick curious. I'm not looking to flame you or anything.
I don't really have a reason. It's just my preferred system. Growing up, I was a Nintendo guy over Sega. When the N64 rolled around, I kind of jumped over to PlayStation and followed Square over to there. I love the PlayStation 1. Okay. I love the PlayStation 2. And then the PS3, they just kind of fucking lost me because they were dickheads. I was big on the 360.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I love the 360. I think it's one of the best systems I've ever owned, between the game lineup and, you know, the downloadable, you know, XBLA lineup. The controller is... near perfection.
Yeah, the controller is. Yeah, the controller is pretty much perfect. If you get one of the newer ones where it has like the rotated like I like the rotated D-pad. That's much better.
And then when it came to PS4 and Xbox One, I think the Xbox One got a lot of unjustified shit slung at them.
Well, it was a lot of people were confused. Yeah. To be honest,
I mean like, in the beginning, their initial announcement, I was excited for what they were talking about. But then they, you know, everyone hated it. So, you know, the one image we used on one of the earlier episodes, it was Microsoft announces their console, everyone hates them. Microsoft fixes their problems, everyone hates them.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many people that are just hardcore against the Xbox One. And it's for a lot of, you know, bullshit reasons. They're like, oh, I don't need a camera spying on me all the time.
Turn it off.
Fucking plug it in.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Dude, put a piece of tape over it.
I honestly couldn't imagine using my Xbox One without the Kinect. I fucking love the Kinect.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's mainly just because, like, people just don't understand the capabilities of it now. Yeah. Like, it is way better than the other one.
Yeah. I mean, my PS4 has broken twice since launch. That's not a good fucking track record for me. When it comes to the games, for the most part, I care more about the games that are on Xbox.
I have to agree.
Like, the system launched, I cared about Knack on the PS4. And then over on the 360, you know, Rise was awesome. Dead Rising is awesome. Fours is great, and it's only gotten better since they fixed all the complaints people had about that.
Killer Instinct.
Crimson Dragon wasn't amazing, but it was fun. Oh, I burped.
So Xbox 360 or Xbox?
I didn't hear that. You kind of
broke up. Xbox One. Xbox 360 or Xbox One?
360 or Xbox One?
Yeah.
360.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still too early to tell.
Yeah, it's, there's just
I don't have either one, so I just wanted to know which one I should get next.
Well, it,
looking for a new system.
If you're looking just to play the back library games, definitely go with 360. If only for the RPGs that are there, like Lost Odyssey, yeah. Blue Dragon, there's a lot of great games that are on the 360 that don't play on an Xbox One because neither of the consoles have backwards compatibility. There's been rumors that they're both going to add it eventually, but who knows? Yeah, if you were only picking one, I would say to go with the 360 just because of the already established game lineup. But if you got the Xbox One, we could play Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare together.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that, like, I'm cool with, like, the online capability kind of thing, and I really wanted to get into that, but, you know, 360 is probably, the one console I'm missing, so I might just get a 360, plus it'd be, like, way cheaper. And
yeah, 360s are cheap.
And I already got
a
bunch of games for it, so
yeah.
I actually already got a bunch of games for it just because... what we were going to do is at PAX, we were going to raffle up like a bunch of games all in one package. And we have a bunch of 360 games. So they become my 360 games because we didn't auction them off. So
what games?
I'm going to check out that 360. I'm thinking, Lost Odyssey. There's, Dark Souls.
Nice.
Dragon something too.
And Dragon's Dogma.
There's a few others. Maybe. But yeah. No, it was Dragon something. Dragon Age 2.
Dragon Age. Okay, yeah, yeah.
I've never played any of the Dragon Age, so.
I would definitely pick up the first Dragon Age and play through that one first. Because the story does carry over between the two.
Yeah, I definitely got to get into 360 now that I actually, you know, all of a sudden have... 360 games in my lap.
Yeah,
I'll have to pick one up.
I know you're a big RPG guy, so definitely it might actually be cheaper to download it on the system, but Tales of Vesperia is my favorite RPG of last generation.
It's not Kingdoms
of
Amalur?
That's like action RPG.
Oh, okay.
But like JRPG, Tales of Vesperia is fucking incredible. So you cannot
and
pass that
what?
One up.
That's for what?
360.
Okay, and it's just for 360? I thought it was like for a few different things, and I just didn't pick it up.
Tales of Vesperia in America is Xbox 360 only. In Japan, it came out for the PS3, but that never came to America.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, I got you.
I know the PS3 got their own Tales games. They got Tales of Graces, the Tales of Symphonia collection, but they never got Tales of Vesperia. And I think that's the best of all of them.
Well, there you go.
The Tales game for the 3DS, I forget, the Tales of the Abyss.
Yeah.
That is such a good game. You guys got to play that. That's if you like JRPGs in the least, that's a good one. I like it.
Yeah, I have it for the 3DS, and I have the original PS2 version, too.
Yeah. Bravely Default was pretty good, too. I don't know if you guys had a chance to play that.
That game is so good. Hey, Chris, did you get the Bravely Default free demo yet?
I knew it was coming.
That free demo that costs nothing to download?
Not yet, Joe, no. Chris? No, I didn't get it yet.
Did I mention it's free?
Yes, you did,
Joe. To get a demo?
Yep. Yep. Did you get it? Jordan finally got it.
Did you get it? No.
Nope.
Oh.
No, I didn't. I haven't even picked up my 3DS since we moved, which I'm actually kind of upset about.
Well, I'll pick it up and play it.
I have nothing to... I don't have any games for it.
Download the Bravely Default demo.
Yeah. Do it.
Well...
It's a free demo.
I understand. Well, Len, it has been a pleasure speaking with you today.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you guys.
I have enjoyed it thoroughly.
Indeed.
Cool.
Any last words
Despite the delay.
Yeah, the delay is kind of crazy. Any last words for our listener?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if you're going to back Pixel Noir, our Kickstarter, it's you got 24 days left, so you got until May 11th, so get in there and give us some money so we can make a really awesome RPG for everybody.
Well, when this comes out on Friday, they'll have 22 days left.
That's true.
So you have 22 days.
Okay, 22 days.
Yeah.
Unless you get this off of Bleeding Cool, then you have 19 days.
May 10th.
Yes.
You have until May 10th.
May.
Indeed. I should probably announce the music for this week.
Do you want to play some of the stuff from the Pixel Noir soundtrack? Hey.
I was actually Overclocked Remix in conjunction with Dwelling of Duels put out a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles remix project. I was going to do stuff from that. I figured when Pixel Noir is closer to release, we'll focus on the music from there. But
okay.
But
I'm sure Kunal would appreciate it.
Okay, so we'll do stuff from the Shell Shock project, and we'll toss in a Pixel Noir song at the end for Len.
There you go.
But you have to get me an MP3 so I could play it.
Okay, I can do that. I can email that over to you. Should I just email your podcast email?
I can do that.
I would say just link me on Facebook or something.
Or
because
that.
I rarely check actual show email.
We basically check the show email like
on Wednesdays,
the day that we record.
Do we get any emails this week?
No.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Can make our dick bigger,
basically.
Okay, I'll send you a Dropbox link. How about that?
That works.
All right.
So Ninja Turtles, Pixel Noir, Flashlights,
Dark Souls.
Kunal's a son of a bitch.
So much hate. Hate wait. Hate, son of, hate son waits. Of a... Magfest, PAX.
Kunal can fuck himself.
Majmudaria.
Kunal. Go. So,
there you go.
Len, any final words, Len? Anything else?
Yeah. I'm going to just say that... I hope that everybody likes our. I hope that everybody can donate to our Kickstarter. I don't know what else to say. That everybody is cool, and we're all like floating on this purple, bluish marble going around the universe, and everything's awesome.
And
that's it.
And Kunal can go fuck himself. It was in Bloom?
It was even closer to you.
You motherfucker!